Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Yacht Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Chisholm, and my guest this time is British sailor Sir Ben Ainslie, the most successful Olympic yachtsman of all time, and the skipper and team principal at America's Cup challenger INEOS Team UK. Ainslie has experienced highs and lows at the America's Cup over the last two cycles. He was an integral part of Oracle Team USA's amazing comeback victory at the 34th Cup in San Francisco, but came home from the 35th Cup in Bermuda a disappointed man after his Land Rover BAR Syndicate failed to make it past the Louis Vuitton Challenger Series. Now he's back with a fully funded campaign bankrolled by patriotic British businessman Jim Ratcliffe and more determined than ever to bring the America's Cup back to the UK. I spoke to Sir Ben on Skype from the team's headquarters in Portsmouth in the UK. So, Ben Ainslie, welcome to the Yacht Racing Podcast. I'm speaking to you at the end of the second week in February, and I guess you're probably winding down to the weekend after a busy week. So, can you give us a snapshot of what your week's been like? What have you been up to? Who you've been talking to?
Well, yeah, it's blowing about 40 knots and 5 degrees in Portsmouth. It's been a busy week. As you can imagine, a lot of design work going on at the moment with our first race boat coming online later this summer. Everything else that goes along with that, and then starting back sailing operations, getting our test boat back on the water, and then planning for the rest of the year. So it's a busy period, and also we've been spending a bit of time with Jim Ratcliffe lately as well, with some fun things on the INEOS side of our organization.
Sounds interesting. Well, we'll come back to that in a second. Now, obviously you're a UK team, you're a very British based team, I think that's important to you personally. So you're training out of a very nice base in Portsmouth, probably the nicest of the America's Cup team bases, I would say. Has there been any limitation on the amount of sailing you've been able to do, just given the weather? I know today's probably a prime example of extreme weather.
Yeah, well, we are obviously limited with the weather in the UK over the winter months. And in the last campaign, we sort of grunted up and fought through that through a couple of winters. And I think there were few sessions we're out sailing our foiling multi-hull around in the snow and struggling through that. This winter we're off to a different venue for our winter training, and to hopefully make that much more productive, and then clearly into launching our first race boat in the Solent later on in the summer. It's a great venue. From sort of March through to November, we have generally pretty good conditions, reasonably flat water in the Solent. The tide can be a little bit of an issue in terms of sort of performance monitoring. But in general, it's been a fantastic venue for us here in Portsmouth, and also a great race venue as well. I think we saw with the two World Series events that we had here through the last America's Cup cycle, showcasing some fantastic racing.
So am I right in thinking you're going to go to another venue, or you've been at another venue training?
Yeah, we're currently at another venue overseas. And looking for some warmer weather.
Right.
And to keep, as I said, to keep the productivity going. So we're working hard on that. And it's been good to see American Magic out there as well, over in Florida, getting some good sailing in their test boat. And expecting to see Luna Rota back out there soon, and New Zealand later on in the year.
And I'm guessing, by the fact you haven't mentioned where this venue is, that this is a top secret location.
Well, it is at the moment. Probably the other teams will find out where we are soon enough. I don't know. We're not going to give them any handouts here.
No, so, absolutely not.
We'll keep it going as long as we can.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want to break the code on that one. So I won't ask any more questions. But Ben, you were the first team to launch a test boat. It's the modified 28-foot Quant. That looked like a real handful to learn how to sail. What was that experience like?
Oh, it's an amazing experience. It has really been an eye-opener to get out in this new concept of boat as you could probably see by some of the footage, we had some pretty big wipeouts and some fun moments, some pretty exhilarating moments as well. And so really just learning how that concept of boat sails and operates from a sailing perspective, but you know, primarily the focus, as you can imagine, being on the design and the development. And then what were the learnings from that really went into our design for Race Boat 1 and then through to the rest of the development program?
Can you describe what a typical day looks like when you take that boat out? Because I think there's two of you that sail it, but there's probably an awful lot more people involved in that process.
Well, that's right. It's a big squad. You know, maintaining the boat and developing the boat, most importantly, and the systems on there are very advanced, and that's going to be key. Again, that's going to be key, developing those systems through this boat that end up eventually on the race boat. And then the other areas, as you've probably seen, the development of the rig and the sails, not entirely new concept, but new for the America's Cup with the double film mainsail, and that also being a big part of the development program. So some key focuses there. And that's been a great learning process and development process. And then from the sailor's perspective, just a huge amount of fun to be out there on these pretty wild boats, getting a feel for what the bigger version will be like. Although I have to say, I certainly hope we can avoid too many crashes in the big boat like we've had in the little boat.
So when you're out sailing this boat, typically, is it the same two people? Is it yourself? I think I've seen you and Giles in the photos sailing together. Is it typically you two, or are you rotating people through that?
Well, we rotate around a little bit. We've got a core development squad and a sailing team, really. And that's just dependent on people's schedules. And, you know, Giles has got, along with his Finn campaign, other guys have different responsibilities around the team. So it works quite well to have a squad of sort of four or five sailors that rotate in and out of that boat and keep it developing. You know, that's been a really important process to work with the designers, and a lot of it is really just the feedback from the sailors. Yes, we have the data readouts and the analysis and so on, but a lot of it is just the feel of how the boat performs with different setups and different changes, and that's been really important to build those relationships.
I think everybody who saw the original concept for the foiling monohull kind of took a little gasp when we saw it. You were the first people really to prove that this whole theoretical design worked. How nervous were you when you took that boat out for the first time?
Well, you know, Grant Dalton told me that this boat was going to work. It was going to be a fantastic boat. We just believed that would be the case. No, in all seriousness, we didn't know. It certainly looked like a very, very exciting concept. And we did have a meeting with Grant and Dan Bonasconi and a few of the other guys from the other teams and talked through it, and a few eyebrows raised. And I think probably, honestly, if you ask Grant and Dan, they weren't entirely sure if the concept would work either. But they've done a great job, and it is a really, I think it's a really neat compromise between, you know, clearly there was a push for monohulls and something a little bit more like what we've traditionally seen in the Cup, but also keeping these fast foiling boats alive and that development going as well. And yes, I mean, it's still, to a certain extent, it's still yet to be proven at the larger scale, but from what we've seen with our boat and American Magic with their slightly larger version, Mule as they call it, you know, you'd like to think that this concept will work at that scale and will be a very impressive yacht.
And what we've seen of those two boats sailing, primarily, I think, on flat water, I mean, the speeds are breathtaking on both of the boats. Can you kind of scale it up in your mind and kind of describe what you think the AC75 monohull full-size version is going to be like to sail?
Yeah, I mean, I've got some feel for it in my mind and just the performance prediction and so on. It's you know, it's going to be an exceptional boat. I think it's going to be to look at. It's going to be an extremely impressive boat, and to sail it is, again, it's going to be a huge challenge. You know, you look at the rolls on the boat, the energy consumption, having the code zero, so the sail handling, trimming, the manoeuvres. It's going to be really full on for the sailing team to be able to sail the boat to its maximum performance and to handle it that way. And then the race courses, the proposed race courses, size of the courses and boundaries and so on. You know, I think I think we're going to really have our work cut out from a sailor's perspective, which is good. You know, that's what you want. You want to be pushed to the limit, and I think we certainly will see that.
Do you think we'll see the closeness of racing that we saw in Bermuda by the end of the cycle?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, there's always a bit of a danger with a new concept and class rule like this that someone sort of, you know, nails a design process and gets a jump on the fleet and they're unassailable. We'll see, but hopefully that's not the case and we end up with some really close racing and spectacular racing, and that scale of boat at those sorts of speeds would be, like I said, will be really something very special to watch.
A fair amount of these new boats are going to be one design. There are significant elements in the whole thing. So from a team point of view, where are you focusing your design work? What are the key areas where you think you might be able to drive some competitive advantage?
Yeah, that's right. There are the supplied elements or one design elements. I mean, the obvious areas, you know, people would point to would be the wings and the foils and the rig and the sails and a little bit of the rig, the systems on the boat. But, you know, I still think, so it sounds obvious, but, you know, it probably won't just be one area. I think it'll be, you know, be the whole package, and then being able to maximize the performance of that. I think certainly the last couple of cups you've seen teams coming through, the eventual winner, you know, maybe not the fastest boat at the beginning of the cycle, certainly not in 2013 anyway. And the team that came out on top just doing a really, really good job of developing, getting absolute max performance potential out of their boat or their tool. And, you know, that's going to be, I'm sure that will again be the case this next time around.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the team structure that you've got there. It's very different, isn't it, to last time around. If I can kind of sum it up, you've got a new backer and just one person or one organisation providing the funding in this, whereas last time you had several, you know, different sources and several lots of people to keep happy. Does that free you up as the sailing team leader and the leader of the campaign? Does that free you up to focus more on the sailing?
Yeah, it does. It does definitely. You know, last time around, we were obviously a new organisation and we had some extremely generous investors and sponsors, but it was very difficult. You know, by the time we got that funding in place, we were behind the existing teams from 2013 and really playing catch up from day one, and obviously weren't able to bridge that gap, although I thought the team did an incredible job, particularly in the last 4 or 5 months of the campaign, to really make some big gains in performance. And then we had this, you know, understandably difficult process coming back, identifying, you know, okay, we're a new organization, but we didn't perform well enough. You know, what changes do we need to make? And then going through the proposals from Grant Dalton and Max and the guys at Luna Racer onto the next cycle. And then this realization that, well, this is a really impressive boat, but it isn't going to be cheap. And looking at the commercial world, you know, especially in the UK, issues with Brexit and the financial markets and so on, you know, this sort of realization it was going to be a real, real struggle to raise the sort of required budget. And at a similar time, I was very fortunate to be introduced to Jim Ratcliffe, who shared the vision, passionate about Britain in sport and could sort of grasp that challenge, the technical challenge of the America's Cup. I think one of the big things that really drew him to the project. And we got on very well. And then within the space of a couple of months, we were able to turn things around. And so, yeah, now we're very fortunate to have the backing, the budget committed and made some really nice changes. To be able to attract people like Grant Dalton and Grant Simmer, even Freudian slip there. Grant Simmer and Nick Holroyd across the team, and some other key signings to help bolster us in a few key areas has made a great difference. So we, you know, I'm really delighted with the way the team has developed and where we've got ourselves to, but also acutely aware of the challenge ahead and the quality of the teams that we're up against.
You may not remember this, but in at the Cup in San Francisco, I interviewed you, and we talked about the possibility of you having your own campaign at that stage, and it was long before BAR and all of that. But we talked about, you know, who you would hire, what would be the key hires, and at that stage you mentioned Grant Zimmer as being, you know, probably top of your list in terms of people you'd want. What is it about his skill set, his personality that you know you find so kind of appealing?
Yeah, I've known Grant now for about 8 years. We got together with Team Origin. I was managed to convince him to come across after the Alinghi campaign and help us out there with Keith Mills. And we just got on very, very well. And really, you know, given my role in the team and sailing on the boat and that side of things, and being acutely aware of sort of previous issues with people trying to run campaigns and sail and do everything, and knowing that you need someone of that caliber, you know, really, that to me there are only you know, a handful of people in the world that could do that job, or that, you know, frankly, I'd be willing to give that responsibility to. And Grant is really at the top of that list because, you know, he is the most experienced person in the America's Cup. I think this is his 11th campaign. And also the fact that he's, you know, really the complete America's Cup competitor, if you like, having competed and won as a sailor, as a design coordinator, and as a manager. So having that complete understanding of the sport and of the challenge, I think is not totally, but it's, you know, it's there's very, very few people with that level of experience. And, you know, he's got a great personality, he's incredibly intelligent, and we happen to get on, which which is a major bonus. So I was absolutely delighted to be able to convince him, as he says, after much badgering on my behalf, to come across and join us. And he, you know, he's done a fantastic job. He really, really is doing a great job for the team, as you know, as well as Nick and a lot of the other key people that have come across to help. You know, the guys, we built up a fantastic team last time around, and majority of that team are still with us. And you know, it's just in a few key areas adding to that skill set and getting the right balance.
So let's talk about the structure of that team. What does it look like in terms of size, and kind of what are the percentages that people are allocated to different departments? I'm guessing design is a big area.
Yeah, design is huge, as you'd imagine, with this challenge and this new class of boats. We've got about 40 people in the design team, and that's led by Nick Holroyd. Again, huge talent in the Cup. And really impressed with the way he's handled this new project and new coming into new organisation. We've got about 100 people in the whole organisation. We're quite keen or focused on not growing above that, just in terms of the sort of scale of these things. As you get bigger than that, you inevitably then you need more support, more admin, more everything, and the thing can just go out of sort of proportion, really, and easy to lose focus. And you know, the sailing team, we've got 15 guys in the sailing team. Again, got some great new additions, primarily out of the Artemis team last time around. So Luke Parkinson, Chris Brittle, Ian Jensen, and those guys again have already had a big impact coming into the team and doing a great job. So we're a mixture of about 75% of the original team from last time around and some new people coming in. You know, I think, like I said, that just bringing a few new faces in, I think, has helped to get the balance right and learn from different campaigns, different experiences, and get people focused and working on that common goal.
Now, you mentioned earlier that some of the sailing team kind of dive out and go and do other projects. Giles Scott has his Olympic campaign in the Finn. But I also see a couple of the sailors like Luke Parkinson and Ian Jensen taking part in the Sail GP circuit as well. Is there a benefit to the team, to you guys being, to those guys being involved in that?
Definitely. I mean, the Sail GP is a great circuit, and so really hats off to Russell Coates and Larry Ellison to develop that on the back of what the framework agreement from the last America's Cup was really focused towards. And it's, you know, it'd be great to see how that, I think the first regatta is coming up down in Sydney. I'm sure that will be really impressive, and that is the sort of racing that you want your sailors to be out there performing, you know, high performance, high level racing. So those guys are out. Some of those guys are out there doing that. Neil Hunter, who was one of our academy sailors from last time around, and Nick Hutton as well, is another one of our sailors. So, yeah, we're really pushing our guys to be out there sailing high performance boats, dinghies, any kind of high performance racing, really, to keep them sharp and keep them current.
We saw you on the GC32 circuit last season. Will we see that repeated this time?
At the moment, we're looking at that program. Yeah, there's been a few changes you've probably seen in terms of the ownership of the Extreme Sailing Series and the management of that circuit. But it worked really well for us last season to just get out there, do some decent racing in a high-performance boat, sailors working together in a team environment under the pressure of racing. And we'll probably do that again. There's still an element of unknown with the scheduling, around the racing for the America's Cup World Series. And so we're just sort of adjusting our program around that.
Okay. Now, Ben, you mentioned Jim Ratcliffe earlier on, right at the beginning of the interview. And Jim obviously is the owner of Ineos, the man that, is it right, you persuaded him over a pint in a pub to spend £110 million with you?
Well, it's a little bit of conjecture whether it's a pint or a gin and tonic. I think it was a quote where he said it was the most expensive gin and tonic certainly in his experience. we met through a mutual friend and got on very, very well. And so, like I said, shared this sort of common goal or interest in sport and British sport and so on. Like I said, Jim really was attracted to the technical element of the America's Cup and the history as well, history and prestige and so on. We managed to move forwards, which has been fantastic.
Now, from the outside, that seems like a match made in heaven. It's the America's Cup with a British team and a highly patriotic, well-funded owner of the team. On a practical level, though, how does that work? How much time do you spend with Jim? How much is he involved, and how does that all work?
Well, we spend quite a lot of time with Jim, mostly on business, a couple of times socially. But, so Grant and Nick and myself probably catch up with Jim once a month or something like that, or bi-monthly, and we just run through the program. And he's very, very interested and engaged in what we're up to, both from the sporting side and the technical side. And I'm sure we'll be, as we get closer to getting into competition and closer to the Cup itself, we'll become more and more engaged. Obviously, Ineos as a business is incredibly, is growing and is incredibly successful and is Jim's main focus. But, he really wants this campaign to be a success. And that's what we want to deliver for him and for the rest of the team and for British sailing.
So you said you've been doing some fun stuff with Jim. Is that stuff you can talk about, or should we leave that alone?
Probably not.
All right. We'll move swiftly on that one.
Yeah.
So, Ben, I wanted to ask you that there must be somewhere in the building there a kind of timeline, a plan for the team that leads up to the start of racing down in Auckland for the qualification series. Where would you put yourself on that plan? Are you ahead? Are you bang on target? Are you a little bit behind? What's the state of play?
Well, the stuff that we can control, I think we're relatively on target as much as we can be. We're still waiting for confirmation of the schedule for some of the races for next year, and a little bit to do, I think, with the suggested entry of new teams, and then what effect that has on the program of World Series, and then leading into the Christmas race, and then the Cup itself. So a little bit of that scheduling is out of our hands, and we just have to focus on what we can, and we'll alter that schedule as and when we get more information from Defender and Challenger of Record.
One of the other key things that I guess you guys, like all the teams, are waiting for are the foil arms. The I think these are part of the one design elements of the equipment that are being designed and manufactured by somebody else, and that there has been a delay. And I think it's been fairly well known that they had to start again almost on the design of that. Mm. Where are we up to with that now?
That design is, these are obviously hugely high loaded parts on the boat. So, you know, I think, yes, there was an issue with the initial design. I think it was quite neat that the teams that were involved at that stage came together and sort of mutually to find a solution to those design issues, those structural issues, and get that back on track. So, I think whether or not it hits the deadline exactly to the day, we'll see. But I think it won't be too far out of schedule. Certainly not to delay the teams too much for getting on the water later on this year.
So that doesn't feel like a limiting factor to you, or at least a major limiting factor to you at this stage?
Not at the moment. I think it should be fine. From the monitoring we've had of the manufacturing process and the adjustment to the structural design of these parts, I think it should be fine.
You feel like you're just about there on time with the plan and the whole thing. So what does the timetable look like, the roadmap for Team INEOS UK for the rest of this year, let's say?
Yeah, as we talked about earlier, we've got a lot of guys out racing. We've just got to finalise our racing program if we get involved with the GC32, and that's a nice story in that that will be under our Rebels banner, if you like, which is the development of the apprentice program. So moving on from the academy that we had back in the BAR campaign and focusing that more on a couple of individuals that have come through that are now joined the senior sailing team and will be mentored through to being able to race in the Cup in 2021. So yeah, I think that's something we really wanted to try and focus in on giving a couple of individuals that opportunity. You know, it's quite a broad program last time around with the academy. I think they had sort of up to 100 sailors that came through. Obviously, the team went on to win the Youth Americas Cup, which was a really, really solid result, great achievement. And then, you know, the development of that to having a couple of individuals coming through felt like the right shift for us. And so they'll race with us on that GC program as we get the schedule for the circuit. Yeah, that's really the focus on the sailing team and the other regattas that the guys are out there racing on around the place. And then the continual development of the test boat, launching the big boat. It's obviously going to be key for all of the teams, I'd imagine, going through this year, this European summer. And then we'll work around the program as we receive it from Challenger, Record and Defender in terms of World Series events and scheduling all the way up to Auckland.
Yeah. And just to clarify, is there an intention from your team to build? You've got the quant, you're building your first AC75. Is that the boat you will race in the Cup, or do you plan to build a second boat?
Yeah, I don't know. At this stage, we'll have to see how the first boat goes, and then we'll make a decision from there. But I mean, it's obviously you're allowed to build two boats. That'd be a good reason not to, but we'll see how the first boat goes first.
Okay. Were you intrigued by Team New Zealand's decision to not rely on the simulator and to build themselves a test boat, if you like?
I'm not actually aware with the Kiwis whether they're building a test boat or not. Was that saying that they're not, or they are? Or?
Yeah, no, I believe that they are, and it was
right.
I interviewed Ray Davis a little while ago, a few months ago, and he asked him about this idea of just going down the route of using the simulator, and they seem pretty committed to that. And it was only a few weeks later that they announced that they were in fact going to build a test boat. And I wondered whether it was partly because of some of the success they'd seen with the Quant and also with the Mule over in the US.
Yeah, maybe. There's certainly been quite a lot of reconnaissance on between the different teams, which you'd understand, and potentially it might be something to do with the scheduling for racing next year, getting their boat around the place from New Zealand and other development focuses for them. So, yeah, as you know, with these programs, it's trying to figure out, you know, what the key areas development are, how can you get that, and do you need, you know, if they decided they need a test boat, I'm sure there are very valid reasons for that. They can't just develop on the simulator.
If you could have more of one thing right now, what would it be?
Time is always the one thing you can't buy that everyone talks about in these sorts of programs. And I think also there's an element of uncertainty around the event at the moment in terms of the scheduling and the teams and so on, which again is not unusual in the America's Cup. So it's something we just have to deal with and try and make sure we keep focused on what we can do well and develop our schedule as and when that information becomes available.
And as a very British team, you don't really have any limitations on you in terms of when you move the whole thing down to New Zealand and start to train on the waters where the cup will actually be contested, because you know you're fundamentally all the sailing team are pretty much British. So do you have any thoughts on when that might happen, when you might head down to New Zealand?
Well, I mean, the more time you can spend at the race venue is always well received. It's always positive. A lot of us have spent many years sailing down in New Zealand, and so reasonably good idea of the waters down there and what to expect. And again, really, it just comes down to the schedule of the World Series events. Should we have those next year? What does that mean in terms of shipping times and all these sort of things you've got to factor in to ultimately maximise your time on the water and maximise development time? Ideally, that would be in New Zealand, but if it has to be somewhere else, that's fine.
Sounds like it's as much a logistics challenge as it is a sailing challenge right now.
Yeah, well, it can be. Certainly, those are some of the big sort of strategic decisions at the moment you've got to take on board and try and work around. But we're in a good position in that we can react. We're focusing hard on what we can do well at the moment, and we've got the capability to react to what we need to, as things develop.
So, Ben, the America's Cup isn't without intrigue at any stage in the game, and this one doesn't look like it's going to be any different. We have an arbitration panel available to the teams now, and we've seen that in action quite recently with the nationality rule for the Malta team. And again, it seems like it's been brought into action now. But you probably know more about it than I do. What can you tell us? Possibly not very much.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, it's kicked off very recently to do with the entry process, really under the protocol, and three of the teams wanting to come in. And yeah, like you said, can't really talk too openly about it because I guess that arbitration is live effectively with submissions being passed and so on. Ultimately, the arbitration I've got to decide this, and I guess we just want that to be resolved as quickly as possible. We just want to get on with this, and any indecision, uncertainty about what teams are entering or not only has a knock-on effect to delay the process of getting, you know, foil arms delivered and event schedules out and, you know, building towards a good competition. So yeah, I'm sure, you know, put faith in the arbitration panel. I'm sure they'll come to a sound judgment and we'll all crack on with it. That's really how it works, and we look forward to them resolving this issue, you know, as quickly as possible. And like I said, so you know, that's in the interest of the competition, really, so that we can look forward to getting into racing next year.
I'm sure they will, and we wish them well with that. And Ben, I wish you well with the INEOS Team UK Challenge. Thanks for talking to me. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks,
and
Justin.
We'll check in with you again soon.
Yeah, we'll do. Take care. Thanks.
That's all for this episode of the Yacht Racing Podcast. Thanks go to my guest, Sir Ben Ainslie, skipper and CEO at INEOS Team UK. And as ever, thanks to you all for taking the time to listen. So until the next episode, I'll say goodbye for now and sail fast, everyone.